welcome to On the Brighter Side. I'm your host, Monica Tanner, and I'm so excited about my guests today. They are David and Emily Jones of Family Tech University. And not only are they the amazing creators of this wonderful resource that I'm so excited to get to all of you, but they're also family. David is first cousins with my husband, Ben. So I am so proud of them and can't wait for you to get to know them better. Hi, David and Emily. How are you guys doing?
Hey, Monica.
We're doing great. Thanks for having us on.
Thanks for being here. Can you start by just telling us a little bit about yourselves and your family?
I would love to introduce us. So David is actually an IT professional. So he's been working in the IT profession for over 20 years. Pretty bright cookie. And I am an author, done some writing for Deseret Book. Most importantly, mother. We have 5 spectacular children. And frankly, they are the source of all of our expertise with technology. It's been in the trenches. And so we're really excited to talk to you today.
So cool. Well, I think you're downplaying both of your talents, but really exciting. So you guys founded Family Tech University. Tell us about your journey there and kind of how this all came to be.
Yeah, so I'll jump in. You know, early on, being involved with technology in my profession and early in our marriage and kids were coming, we had lots of discussions, you know, kind of dinner time, you know, type discussions about how we were going to employ technology with our family. And as our oldest son got to the age where he was asking for a smartphone, felt like, you know, we needed to be on our A game and what could we do to help him be empowered and be successful in a world where he has powerful technology at his fingertips. Anyway, we heard around that time, we'd heard this or read actually an article about an individual that put something together for his family called Dating University, where they'd put together some ideas and training to put his kids in a good position when they were entering that age of dating. Anyway, we thought that was a brilliant idea and decided we would put together a tech university. The idea that we would provide training for our kids that would help them avoid pitfalls, that would help them leverage technology for what we feel like it was intended to be. And really what we put together is a compilation of this great material that appeals to young people. And so we've put a kind of a go at your own pace online training course where these young people can consume awesome, exciting, interesting material. And there's prompts that are sent to parents. It's time to have a chat about this topic. Journal entries are captured and sent to parents and really facilitates this dialogue between parent and child to help that child gain what we call an internal filter and help them be strong and help them do great things with technology. The online course has various different modules, things that discuss pornography, gaming, social media, cell phone etiquette, all kinds of different dimensions of technology that help a young person see what potential goodness or difficulty lays before them, depending upon what choices they make.
Yeah, there's really so much to learn about technology. It's crazy, but I love how you talk about building your children's internal filter. Can you talk more about what that means and why it's so important?
Yes, I would love to tell you about that, Monica. So we first heard reference to this concept of the internal filter. I think it was 2014. We were listening to a woman speak by the name of Linda Reeves, and she made this statement that just kind of blew our minds. She said, "The only filter that is truly effective, 100% effective, is the internal filter. It's that capacity that is inside of our young people to choose well of their own accord." So the concept is that we nurture this capacity in them, this desire to choose well of their own accord, because the end game, the end goal, is for that young person to walk out the door away from the digital filters we set up, away from the parental monitoring and the rules, and to be able to walk out that door and choose well. That is the dream. That is the dream of every parent and the hope. And so the purpose and the intent of the Family Tech University workshop is the nurturing of the internal filter. That is the drive. Of course, parents still have to put up those digital filters, almost like training wheels in a way, really like training wheels. We still have to put those protections in place. We have to have a plan. But if parents can have that end goal of nurturing that capacity, that internal filter, they can watch that child walk out the door and have that peace. You know, that child, they'll make mistakes, that when that internal filter is really robust and really powerful, it's awesome. These kids are powerful when that's intact.
Yeah, it's so neat. And I've heard you describe Family Tech University kind of like a driver's training for technology, which I relate so well to this analogy because my own son, my oldest son, just went through this whole deal. He did driver's training, he got the permit, he got his driver's license, and not too long after getting his driver's license, he actually got into his first car accident. And so I think about this and think about what you guys are doing, and I'm like, this is so great. I mean, definitely there needs to be training. Technology is just as dangerous as a car, and we are handing our kids the keys to this powerful tool that could really hurt them. And I think it's good as parents for us to realize that they are going to make mistakes. They are going to get in little accidents, but it's so great that we're still there. So let's talk about how your workshops and trainings are like driver's ed for technology.
Yeah, so that's a great little lead with your son that just got his driver's license. And, you know, with you, as a parent and any of us that have gone through that, it's universally understood that they're going to need some training.
And it's frightening.
You know, it's frightening. I mean, we understand the danger. It doesn't take much to convince our kids that, hey, there's some potential danger here. And so, you know, you have to wait till they're a certain age. You do lots of practice driving with them. They read material. They take a course. They have eye screenings. They take tests. There's all kinds of this rigor that's established in our society to protect society, to protect the individuals that are going to get their driver's license. And so, you know, we all recognize that there's that prerequisite kind of thing. And so really, I don't think any parent in their right mind is going to hand their kids to their 12-year-old son or daughter, or their keys, sorry, to their 12-year-old son or daughter and say, hey, you know, could you run and grab some groceries for me? It's just, you know, it's
good
crazy.
Luck with that.
And yet we hand our kids these powerful technologies and kind of cross our fingers and hope for the best. And that's where, you know, we felt like as parents, we wanted our kids to have some rigor, some training, an opportunity to learn the great capabilities and the goodness that can come from it. But also understand that there's real danger and what to avoid. And, you know, there's a quote that we like to share that speaks to kind of this premise that we use for our course. David Bednar said, the tuition of diligence, of learning, and by study, and by faith must be paid to obtain or personally own knowledge. And only in this way can what is known in the mind also be felt in the heart. And only in this way can a child move beyond relying upon the knowledge and experience of parents and adults and claim those blessings for himself or herself. And that's really what we're trying to do, is put some guidance and some with our kids to be able to help them choose on their own to make wise choices. Just like your son, he had an experience where he got in a little accident or whatever. And, you know, I don't know whose fault it was or the details of that, but odds are he probably learned some things from that. And you know, we want our kids to learn how to avoid accidents, to avoid danger. They know what a stop sign is. They know what a stoplight is and how to merge and how to get on off freeways and those kind of things with technology.
Monica, isn't this concept of our children paying tuition just awesome? Mm-hmm. I think sometimes, I know as a mom, I've sometimes deluded myself into thinking I can give my child wisdom. I can dump that on him or her and they will absorb it and take it all in and own it. And that's just not the case. They do have to pay some tuition. They do have to put in some study and put in some practicing of habits. You know, we practice parallel parking with our kids over and over and over. We can't just tell them how to parallel park, right? Yes. And so with technology, this whole concept of how do we help them pay this tuition, do some study, develop those internal opinions that they need to own and have, it's a powerful concept.
Yeah, absolutely. I love it. I mean, I don't think there's any better way we can prepare them than that, is have them practice and learn and for themselves. What advice do you have for parents, or like for the moment when my son, it was a very small accident. He actually hit a rock. So there was nobody else involved. We were very lucky. Nobody was injured, maybe the rock, but what advice do you have for parents as they're giving their kids the keys? They've been through your program. They have the knowledge, but they're still going to make a mistake. How can parents kind of cope with that, deal with that, and be prepared for that when it happens?
I love this question, Monica. It's such a good question. The first thing that comes to my mind is be certain that you are taking a more graduated approach to what you grant as far as technology privileges, making a plan so that we don't hand them the whole kit and caboodle right out of the gate. So we can measure readiness. And this workshop actually helps with that because there are conversations that are prompted throughout. The workshop itself is navigated by the child on their own time, their own volition, but the workshop through email will prompt the parent, hey, your son just watched something about texting while driving and the dangers that are inherent in that. Have a chat with him. Ask him what he thought of the video. Ask him what he thought. And as you have those discussions, you can start to determine readiness for varying levels of technology. So that's kind of the first thing that comes to mind. There are other things though. And I love what you said about coping with mistakes. And maybe I'll have David address that.
You know, I think as parents, sometimes we get shocked or we get upset or we react in a way when our children falter or stumble that isn't always the most healthy way to go about things. Sometimes in some households or cultures, there's even an element of shame associated with kids and maybe their use of technology or whatever, and makes it difficult for a young person to feel like they have an open pathway of communication with their parents. So the way we respond to our kids when they stumble is massive. We want them to know that we're on the same path they are. We're teaming up. And even as parents, we're trying to figure out where technology fits in our lives. And, you know, hey, Johnny, you know, I see that this is a challenge and I've got challenges too. Let's partner together and tell me what you think would be some good ideas to help you through this. And as they internalize and think through their, you know, we can prompt and help them as parents, but really it's about listening to them, solidifying their thoughts. They've got powerful thoughts and ideas and they can get through that.
You know, another thing that I was thinking about, Monica, also is that as we gradually grant access to these technologies, if we do run into problems that seem to us to be serious in nature, parents may need to have some courage to step the technology back a bit. There is great power in that, and that can elicit a pretty strong reaction from the young person. But when you take the long view about what is best for this amazing child, there may need to be some courage there in kind of stepping things back, always done with love and giving them the perspective that we do these things and are working with them out of tremendous love and desire for their happiness.
Yeah, I love that. So what advice do you have for parents or spouses about how to actually get on the same page when presenting this information and dealing with maybe pitfalls that come along the way? How can they work together and show a united front?
So perhaps it goes without saying, but being united brings great strength. And, you know, I think a married couple that's genuinely united in what they're trying to accomplish with a very deliberate and purposeful approach in parenting technology will strengthen their entire family, and their kids can gain some confidence in that unity. I think it may be, you know, raising a family is messy business. Raising kids is messy business. And it's, you can put together plans and it's important to have a plan and have confidence in that plan, but kids are going to stumble. They just will. That's just part of it. And when you're unified as a couple, frankly, there's probably no greater strength, in my opinion, than a unified married couple. That's the strongest companionship that there is on this earth. And so as you work together as a married couple and teach your children how your family is going to use technology, I think they'll appreciate that in the long haul for sure.
You know, here's a concrete experience of something that really impacted our unity with regards to technology. So we decided to do something really crazy, but we actually decided that we wanted to give our kids a survey, having them evaluate our tech behavior.
Oh dear.
And the reason for this is as we have studied so much on this topic, we began to realize that the most powerful and potent impact on young people and their behavior with technology is the example set by their parents. And we hate to admit this as parents, but it is such a powerful thing, the way that they watch us use it, how they see us interact with it. So we drew up this survey. How do you see mom use her phone? Do you ever feel ignored by mom because of her phone? If you were the parent, how would you act with your phone? All of these questions. And it was really actually very eye-opening, quite a remarkable experience. And David and I had multiple discussions about, wow, look what they wrote about me and look what they wrote about you. And that led to discussions about, okay, what are our rules as a couple going to be about the way that we wield this technology, especially in front of our children? And I can't tell you what that did for us. It was humbling. Our kids felt listened to, and we have changed a lot of the things that we do with respect to technology because of it.
You know, along that path, it's interesting. Smartphones have only been around for 10 or 12 years. And as parents, we've kind of subtly moved into this way that technology has become a part of our lives. And we don't even realize, it's not like we're out doing horrible things, or, you know, we don't even realize the way we're using technology and what our kids are observing. And we thought, gosh, we're doing pretty good. We do this and this and this to make sure that it's not impacting our parenting. But boy, our children looked at it and said, you know, you're not doing so hot, Dad. And I really feel ignored during these circumstances. And I thought, I had no idea that was even happening. And it really has. It's impacted really on a daily basis how we're more measured and careful about how technology is part of our lives and trying to be an example.
Well, I hope that survey is available on your website somehow, because I think I'm going to need to administer it to my children very soon.
Absolutely. In fact, we'd be happy to give you a link. That's something that we would be happy to offer anybody, because it really is a powerful experience.
Yeah, I'll link to that in the show notes, because I think that is a great, great place to start. You make an incredible point, is that they see our example. And the moment I had a teenage driver was the moment I was like, oh, my phone is going in the center console while I'm driving, because it's too easy to just be texting while driving. I'm like, I don't want my teenager to do that. But actually, probably nobody should do it. So yes, it's very eye-opening to see our tech behavior through our children's eyes, for sure. How can your material help build a strong family culture, especially as it relates to the healthy use of technology in your home?
So in essence, I think the reason that this workshop can contribute to family culture is if a parent views it as a tool. A parent has to view it as a tool. So in essence, the workshop is a tool for parents to use to create kind of a culture of discussion and learning around technology. I love how you use the word culture, because it really is a pattern that you say, okay, this child is starting to show some readiness to have their own device. I'm going to start them on this workshop. They begin it and they go through 8 modules of training, addressing all different aspects of technology, including the awesomeness of technology and all of the good that they can do. Each of these modules induces the child to consume materials and then somehow internalize those principles in some way. So for instance, your son might read an article about the ways that social media companies use to keep us online for as long as possible. So he reads this article or watches this video about these disturbing tactics that the social media companies use. He's disturbed by it. The workshop induces him to journal about it online. He does an online journal entry. That journal entry is emailed to the parent. So the parent and the child knows this, no secrets here. So the parent gets this entry and can see what's going through his mind, the things that he took away. And then the workshop invites the parent to chat with the child. And these chats should be something that the parent is just demonstrating tremendous listening ability for these chats. So listen, listen, listen. That is a huge part of these discussions. Discussions that the workshop introduces. And so you can see that as this pattern is used throughout the workshop, once the child completes this experience, there's already established a culture of discussion, a culture of, hey, what do you think about this? Not the parent lecturing and dumping things on the child, but the parent in their wisdom and their capacity is listening to that child and understanding and expressing opinions about these materials. And as we establish that kind of a pattern, think of the openness that that establishes. Think of the sense that the child has, I'm important, my ideas are important, and this parent is amazing. He or she is listening to me, is listening to my ideas, and unbeknownst perhaps to the child, those opinions that are forming are the essence of that internal filter. He is embracing, or she is embracing, opinions that they own. And those owned opinions are the bedrock of the internal filter. And so that is how this workshop can culturally impact families.
I love that so much, especially how you mentioned giving them a voice. And a lot of times kids are smarter than we are. I mean, they'll put their own restrictions on themselves. So I have 2 teenagers. The 16-year-old has a smartphone that has the filters and restrictions and things on it. And the 13-year-old has just a flip phone, but neither one of them have shown any interest in social media at all after all of the information that we've given them about social media, and they've been to Colin Karchner, and you know, we've taken them so that they could see for themselves kind of what social media is. And they see mom on social media, but neither one of them has any desire to be a part of any social media platforms, which I am so thankful for. But they have made those decisions completely on their own with their internal filters, and I'm so grateful for that.
You know, the danger is real with technology, but fear is a choice. And as parents, we can be very deliberate deliberate about how we go about technology in our home. We don't have to be fearful. We don't have to worry or wonder. We can really approach things in a deliberate, intentional way that puts our kids in the best possible opportunity to succeed. And, you know, each home might be slightly different or whatever as to how they go about that, but we can be brave as parents. And our kids, like you said, Monica, they are resilient and awesome. They are incredible. They intend to do good. They intend to share light. They intend to have a happy life and make good choices. And the better we can do as parents to put that training in front of them so that they can choose where they really want to go anyway.
It sounds to me, Monica, like you're already employing this pattern of introducing experiences, hands-on or ears-on or whatever experiences for your children that will help them make their own decisions. It's a pattern that resonates with parents because in their gut, most parents already know that's something that needs to be happening. And really, this workshop is just a tool to employ that in a really deliberate way.
Yeah, so. Well, that's why I'm so excited about it. As people have been going through your workshops and giving you feedback, what's the number one thing that they're getting from it? What are they most excited about?
Well, I think a lot of the feedback that we get, we had one mother that said, "My son did not talk to me very much before this experience. And when I started to learn how to listen to his feedback from these experiences he was having, it changed culturally what was happening in our family." She said, "I just never knew what was inside of him. Didn't know the opinions and the thoughts, his capacities in order to digest these things and really own them." That's been a huge piece of feedback that we have received. Another piece of feedback that across the board that we get about this experience is something that David's already talked about. And that is parents who are empowered and not afraid anymore. They are not afraid, and they have had their eyes opened to the power of that child and itinerant ideas that are there and are just needing to be stirred and awakened inside of some of these kids. That's another one. The one thing that we get a lot of feedback about is the final experience that exists in the workshop. And we both feel really strongly about this experience. We call it the story of my life. And what it is it's an invitation for the young person to actually make either a video or an audio recording of their dreams for the future. The workshop induces them to do this, and they answer different questions. What do you dream of doing? What do you want your marriage to be like? What do you want your future family to be like? What kinds of amazing experiences do you want to have in this wide, wonderful world? And as they express these opinions, they develop a vision for their future life. And the reason that we have included this as such an integral part of this experience is that in our interviews with many, many, many teenagers, we have run into some pretty remarkable kids who seem to, of their own volition, choose to be wise with technology without pressure from parents, without lockdown, rigid lists of hundreds of rules. Why do these kids do this? And we ask them that. Why do you choose this? Why? And without fail, these young people will say things like, "Well, I kind of want my family to be like this in the future, and screen obsession doesn't really fit in with that dream." Or, "Oh, I want to be this famous painter." They have a dream about perhaps a profession. How am I going to become that if I'm just stuck on my phone all the time? There's so many things I want to do. And so the bedrock motivation for these young people who are doing so well with technology is their life vision. It is this life vision. And so that piece of the workshop, we get more feedback about that part than any other because they feel like their young person in expressing those dreams is starting to see how technology can help or hurt what they really want in life.
Oh my goodness, Emily, I love this so much. Think of a teenager. One of their challenges is that they don't look into the future very well. They're very short-sighted. They don't see long-term consequences very well. So doing that exercise with them, I think, would be so powerful in helping them realize that they are the creators of their future and their decisions now can impact that. I love that. That's so remarkable. I love that you did that.
You know, David, you want to tell them about our experience with our boys.
Really kind of humbling and touching. When they recorded, you know, they would go to a quiet place and record their thoughts, their kind of the story of their life, their future looking forward. I was a little bit surprised. In every case, they've even become a little bit emotional as they've talked about, you know, the people they love or the people that have influenced them and how they want to be. And they have some very profound goals and some very profound deep thoughts. And if I could use the term, the experience to listen to those was frankly, sacred. It was just a powerful, amazing thing that I thought, wow, what a pillar of a person this is. What a bright future they have. And though as parents, we see that, but when you really hear the heartfelt yearnings that come from them, it's powerful. And it's powerful for them. You know, as they express verbally these thoughts, it helps embolden their thoughts and you know, convince them to really grab hold of those ambitions and goals.
That's really neat and special. I am so excited to get into this with my kids. Now, I have a little bit more difficult question for you now. What do you tell the parents who feel like it's too late for their kids in regards to technology? They've given them the phone, they're entrenched in these bad habits, and they feel like they're just powerless. What do you tell those parents?
This is an important question, Monica, a really important question. This is something we get asked a lot, actually, by parents. The first thing that we would share is it is never too late for the metamorphosis of a heart, ever. As hardened as a young person may appear, as entrenched as they may be, there is malleability in the human soul, and it is never, never too late. Now, is it going to be a journey and sometimes a hard and rocky and messy journey? Absolutely. That is the nature. That is the nature of the journey through this life. One thing to keep in mind, the very nature of this life on this planet is that each human being is endowed with the capacity to choose. I love how, so David's mother, as you know, is the mother of 10 children, and she likes to joke, I do not like the power of choice. I don't like it.
She would like to take it all away.
Yes. She's like, I don't believe in it. I don't believe in choice. And of course she says that in a joking way. But I think a lot of us parents have felt that way. We would really like to remove that element of our children's existence for a little while. But the nature of this life is that of being an agent, having the capacity to choose. And so for parents who are discouraged, feeling like, oh, I've messed up in the realm of tech parenting, you take heart. Ask yourself, what are the things that I can control that will bless my child? Now, we've talked about one of those things, and that is taking a good look in the mirror at our own behavior with technology, taking a good look in the mirror. That is something we can control. We also, as they are under our roof, can control environmental factors. Are our children entitled to these powerful technologies willy-nilly? Absolutely not. And we need to take up our courage sometimes as parents and say, my gut feeling for you, the child that I love so fiercely, tells me that we have got to step this back and demonstrate some more capacity, some more responsibility. I believe in you, my daughter, my son. I believe in your capacity. So let's step this back. Let's talk about these principles more. Let's demonstrate some more maturity, some more responsibility with them. And then let's ease into it again. You can do this. You are going to master this technology. That is the message that you as a parent are seeking to impart to that child. I see your capacity. You are growing and you're going to get this. But these are the things that we're going to do to get you there.
That was so beautifully stated. Okay, if you could have the undivided attention of all the parents in all the world for just a few minutes, what is the most important thing you could teach them about technology and internal filters?
Good question, Monica. I think the first thing is to not be afraid. If we approach our parenting, especially with technology, with fear, we're either going to be too controlling and clamp down so hard that our kids just unrealistically or can't, you know, access any sort of technology, or we just get overwhelmed by the hugeness of it and we stick our head in the sand and we cross our fingers and hold our breath and hope for the best. So don't be afraid. That's the first thing. I think that, you know, we've got, and maybe I'll just run through these four steps that we like to share. Is it's important, we talked about the driver's ed, it's important to have a plan and have confidence in that plan. And when we have a plan, it helps remove the fear element and helps us drive towards a goal. We talked about this a little bit too, but it's important as parents that we listen to our young people. And that's our second step is listen, listen, listen. The third, and this is important, is that we as parents need to have patience with the process. It's a learning process. Our kids are going to stumble. We're in this together. We can partner up and we're going to succeed. That's the end goal, is we're going to succeed. And then we've talked about this perhaps at length, but as parents, we need to look in the mirror and see how we can be the example that our kids need to be. I hope, after all, at the end of the day, we need to trust our young people that they are amazing, that they are capable, that they have more power and capabilities sometimes, perhaps oftentimes, than what we give them credit, that they can succeed and they can blow our minds with their ability to do well. We need to show our trust in them. We need to demonstrate that we love you, we trust you, you're going to get this, and things are going to be wonderful. There's nothing to fear here. I think if we are really laser focused on the capacity and power of those young people, that alters the way we approach as parents. parents and puts them in the best opportunity for success. Anything you'd like to add to that, Anne?
Oh, I thought it was so well said. I don't think I'd add a thing.
I agree. I love the confidence that you exude that we're going to get this, that, you know, there might be little stumbles along the way, but we are going to succeed. I love that so much. What are you guys working on right now that you're most excited about?
Well, we are right now continually adding materials and goodness to the workshop. So as things change, technologies change, we've always got our fingers in the waters looking for added experiences and added materials that will bring value to that. So that workshop is an organic living thing right now, and frankly is absorbing all of our capacity right now. It's just an awesome, awesome experience. So yeah.
Yeah. And I think another thing, you know, we feel really confident and excited about this Family Tech University project that we've been involved with and looking for ways to clarify and articulate our message for people to help them understand. I think as people understand what we're trying to do, parents have been really excited about it. It's been really fun to see the enthusiasm and to see the benefit it's brought to their family. And so that's been kind of a real challenge that we've kind of been working on for months is finding the best ways to get that out in front of people and to message it.
Where can the listeners find Family Tech University and all the incredible resources that you have out there?
Well, you can find us at familytechuniversity.com. So that is the hub. People can actually go there and sign up for a free video series. It's a 3-part video series that explains the philosophy behind the way that the workshop works. And frankly, if people don't use the workshop, they will find tremendous value in those videos. They can craft some habits in their own home that will be powerful in and of themselves. You can also find us on Instagram, of course, at Family Tech University. And we're also on Facebook. So all of those places, come and see us. We'd love to hear from you.
Well, we'll link to all of that in the show notes. Thank you so much for your time and keep doing the wonderful work that you're doing in the world because it is so needed.
Thank you, Monica. We are such admirers of what you do here on this podcast. What a power you are in the lives of families and marriages. So congratulations to you.
Oh, thank you. That means so much for my family.
Thanks so much, Monica. We've really enjoyed our time.
All right, you guys. Wasn't that an amazing interview? You're probably thinking one of two things. You're either thinking that I married into a really incredible family, or you might be thinking that those Tanner Jones boys really married up. Either way, whichever way you're leaning, I hope that you took out of this episode that there really are some incredible resources for helping our children navigate this brand new world of technology. What David and Emily have created is really an excellent resource to help parents with such a difficult transition. And like David and Emily made so clear, there really is no reason to fear. Our kids are amazing and they will figure this out. We as parents just need to be diligent. We need to be aware of what's going on, and we need to utilize great resources like Family Tech University. We need to band together. We need to share these resources and our experiences with each other and really support each other in our mission to help our children develop safe and strong internal filters. Because really, you would never give your child the keys to a car without them first going through an extensive training period like driver's ed and having a permit and practicing with their parents. Just like I hope you will not hand your children devices without giving them any type of training on the power of these devices. And with this Family Tech University, I love how it is so hands-on and it facilitates this beautiful relationship with parents where the child is learning the information and then sharing what they're learning. And then the parents are discussing it with them, and they are all part of the process of learning about technology. And as parents, I really do feel like we need to examine our own tech usage and how that could be affecting our parenting, our lives, our children's lives. So I think there's a lot to think about in this episode, but definitely check out Family Tech University and all of the resources that they are providing to you. And get this, there are always perks for listening to the very end, Emily just emailed me a coupon code for $10 off when you purchase the workshops through their website. So by using the code BRIGHTER10, you can get $10 off the workshops, which are already very well priced for all of the value that they have in there. And who doesn't love saving money? I know I absolutely love it. So go check out the workshops, use the code BRIGHTER10 to save $10. And then also I have linked to the survey that we discussed in the episode where you can survey your kids of their view of your tech habits. I promise this will be eye-opening to most of us, and I am planning to administer that survey to my kids this week. So next week, we're going to jump back into marriage. We're going to talk about something that the Epic Marriage Summit didn't touch on as much as I realized there was a few holes. We didn't talk about second marriages. So next week, we're going to start talking about the special challenges as well as blessings that can come from second marriages and blended families. So please make sure you subscribe so that you don't miss any episodes. Join us next week for an enlightening conversation with my new friend, Brandon Cunningham. And until next week, have courage, be kind, and stay on the brighter side.